you're being able to be seen by the likes of the best programs in America.
David Tyndale is all about the details on the court, in training, and in life. A top 10 scorer in Ontario University history, three times MVP at York, and now a trainer to elite athletes, including NBA star Dylan Brooks. David is shaping the next generation with discipline, accountability, and a deep love for the game.
I got all this attention all of a sudden after being like a regular. And then all of a sudden, I was like, boom, oh, he could score.
From training his own nephew to working with pros, he knows success starts in the smallest moments. This week on episode 15 of He's a Guy, we sit down with David to talk about the work, the mindset, and what it really takes to level up. And while he's been helping others grow, he's also stepping into a new chapter himself, recently getting engaged. Tap in. This one's about the journey, the grind, and the commitment.
Boys, we are back.
Is the studio look familiar to y'all?
Oh, man. But yes, please welcome us to another episode of He's a Guy podcast. I don't know if you guys recognize this face in the building today that we got, but you know, we'll soon get to that. It's a real, real serious
one. This is a face you want to know.
You see what I'm saying? let's get around the room, know, introduce ourselves, get a mental check-in. Start with Tashawn. What's popping, brother?
Bam, man. I didn't know you were coming this way.
You guys are coming with some energy.
Give me with the no look. Yeah, energy. No look pass. I'm great. I'm actually really good today. I slept in till noon. Us playing men's league games at 10 p.m. is ridiculous. I think we're too old for that. I'm not going to lie to you. So I slept until almost noon today. So I got a good rest, took the day to myself, and now I'm just feeling blessed. I'm here. I'm excited. It's like the highlight of my week. So it's always blessed to see the man, though. You know what I'm saying?
I'm happy to have you here,
Fred. Appreciate you.
Fred, call at me. What's going on, brother?
I'm good. A little drained. You know, I had a long weekend. Son played a lot of basketball this weekend.
Yo, actually, I saw you and him.
Yeah, I got forced into dad's game, you know?
Okay.
I had some legs on me, so, you know, I tried a thing.
Right.
You know, it worked out.
Seen the co-MVP, father and son?
Yeah, you know. I was playing with my Filipinos. It felt like Shaq.
Yeah. Oh,
went there.
Shout out to Filipinos.
Yeah, went there.
My Filipinos, you got to love them, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was repping. I was definitely repping.
Yeah, and, you know, it went well, you know, so, you know, here with the man, I'm loving the podcast, you know. Happy to see David, you know, so pass it on to him.
Jeez. man, I'm blessed. Happy to be here, bro. Shoot. Been a good week. Was in warm weather. That's for sure. Taking in some basketball. Just got back from Houston. Might as well live there at this point. But no, happy to be on this side. Happy to be on this show. You know what I'm saying? It's been long overdue. Obviously, you know, in and out a lot. But no, I had to make sure it happened this week for sure. So. I'm happy you guys got me on it.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate even to make this happen, brother, you know? But again, yes, bro, you know, we're here. I had a great weekend. It was my birthday yesterday, so, you know.
Ooh, birthday.
So yes. 33, yes. Feel young, but I feel old, but still young.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They say you're only as old as you feel. Right now, I feel good. So. Some days are questionable, but most days are blessed, so. Yeah, man. Grateful to see another one. You know, spending some time with man. It's blessed.
I might have another bottle for you, dog. A big one this time.
A bigger one?
A bigger one.
All right.
Did you finish the mini one I got you?
Brother, it's a gulp. Ray nephew, dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's
a true, what's wrong with him? Nephew.
True to the game.
What's wrong with you?
True to the game?
He's in it.
By itself?
I'll cheat the game, dog.
Hold on, by itself?
I can. On the rocks.
You have a problem.
On the rocks?
I can do it on the rocks.
Why?
Why? That's why. Nah, but honestly, only because. So I'm not gonna lie to you. It's not like I'm here thumping back beer shots.
Of course,
three or four had me set nice, right?
Yeah.
And then, ironically, I just did a January dry January, which was amazing. To be honest, I got back to liquor a little bit during February, but this weekend really took me over, and I realized that break was something serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Ray and Nephew is definitely one of the dogs. You know, I love Ray and Nephew. I'm not gonna brother. I love Ray and Nephew like I love Shinsia. See?
Staying true. Staying
true. True Yachty, bro.
Staying true.
Yeah, talk to me. What's popping?
Yo, I'm honestly feeling really good. This is a podcast I wanted to do for a long time, and I'm grateful you made us some time for us in your busy schedule flying in and out. So
yeah.
Honestly, I'm feeling good. I'm just ready to get this going, man. Give the people what they want.
Without further ado, remember to like, comment, subscribe. There's a little button right here. You're going to press this red right there. It's going to pop up, promise. But without further ado, David Tyndale in the building. Brother.
It's popping.
Like you said, Deion tried to make this happen. I don't know if he told you, but it was a name that came up. And we said, yes, has to. You know what I mean? This year, you're important to the basketball community, but also to, I think, just GTA legacy.
Respect.
It's important to give you your flowers for a lot of people that don't know. But also just, you know, in being in competition with us in some years as well.
Yeah.
But an important name, especially what you're doing now for basketball. So we're hoping to get into all that. But please, for the people that don't know, for the very few people that may not, please tell us what you're into now, brother. What's David Tyndale on?
Shoot, so been working with basketball athletes for some years. Call it a trainer, call it a mentor, call it a big bro, call it a father figure in some cases. But just trying to influence the game as much as possible. Working with kids as young as, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, all the way up to the highest level of the game. Guys playing the NBA, guys playing overseas, girls as well. Just trying to continue to push my agenda, which is growing the game in this country. Producing more talent and trying to maximize everybody. You know what I mean? So just trying to give back to the game. That's really it.
Do you think that's something that's missing over here in a sense or not really?
What you mean, like
just in terms of
people giving back to the game?
Not so much giving back to the game, but making sure that our talent is kind of recognized. And that's coming along now, obviously, with the likes of new players.
This is something that obviously like is a steady rise. Obviously, we got the second most players, country represented players, or players, sorry, represented from a country in the NBA. Obviously, U.S. first, us being second. And obviously, there was a time where it was much, much smaller number. I think the number should be growing more and more each year. Mm-hmm. Again, it's something that I'd say is missing. What's missing really is just more people that are, you know, guiding the path. It's slowly starting to go in the right direction with a lot more people that played the game, been around the game, that have a lot of passion for the game, being involved now and giving back to these kids and, you know, starting them young and starting them early, having the right guidance. So it's something that's improving. It's something that, you know, continues to grow and needs more work. But the right people are being put in positions, so it's only a matter of time. You know what I mean?
That's actually a great answer, because I actually want to open this up to the room now. How do you guys feel like that looks from an outside perspective? I know, David, you're in it, so you can see how those type of guidances and things, that we're still around the game though, boys. So how do you feel that looks now to us? How do you guys feel like it's transitioned in a way where it's opened up more pathways? You know, Freck, you said you have a son that's in the sport. You know what I mean? Tashawn, you were reffing at a point. Deion, you're still playing. I'm still playing a little bit men's leagues wise. So we're still seeing the community. Mm-hmm. But how do you guys feel like the gates are kind of be opened up for these kids now? Do you feel like that's something that's, you know, come along, and where do you see it going?
Of course. I think sky's the limit right now. I think when we were younger, it was a time where you're kind of breaking through that wall.
Hard
I think
wall
when
too.
The EYBL came out, mm-hmm. that's when you really seen the transition of guys, like really, like obviously we have the guys that paved the way, like Corey and Tristan, those guys.
Absolutely.
And even before them, Jamal McGlure and all those guys. But I think right now we're at a height of talent in Canada, and I think that we're kind of getting the recognition, not as much as we should be, but I like what I'm seeing. And like you and like Vlad are people that I always like, mm-hmm. really looked up to, because I'm like, you guys are still pushing the agenda of making basketball not just fun, but like, yo, I'm playing for keeps. And I feel like watching the NBA, and I don't even really kind of watch it too much, because it's a friendly game now. Everybody's bredging's on and off the court, and it's, I don't really like to see that, but like, I like what you guys are doing. So, yeah.
And just not to interject, I know you opened up, but as you said, like, you know, the EYBL emerging, especially for Canadian teams to have, know, opportunity to be represented. Obviously, like the growth of Uplay, mm-hmm. Canada leads on the Under Armour circuit. But again, like you're being able to be seen by the likes of, you know, the best programs in America, whether it's prep schools, high schools, obviously the college programs, and you never know what scouts are there. So you're getting a chance to be put in front of these guys from 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at 14 back in the day, like you're not getting into those type of tournaments. You know what I mean? So just to be able to kind of test the waters and understand what the competition looks like south of the border. Sure. The NBA game is friendly and gets, you know, it kind of is softened up a bit. But these kids are playing from here. You know, when they cross the border, it's no joke. And it's an eye-opener for a lot of them. And but them getting exposed to that early is a blessing because, you know, it makes you realize and that have that self-awareness and not have that delusion. Because, you know, us on this side, when you don't know, you're almost chasing a dream like aimlessly. You don't really know what you're doing and how you're supposed to be approaching this until you see how you're really supposed to be approaching this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, like I'm steps behind, you know, so... it's good. Like I said, these kids are able to develop that hunger much more because when you go down somewhere, you get your ass kicked, you get embarrassed or you can't get your shit off and you're like, yo, I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had that moment where they played somebody and it's like, yo, I'm not that tough. I actually got to get way better. Like
I remember mine. You
know what I mean?
Ricky Lito.
This is what I'm saying. You never forget that moment. Yeah. So having that at 11, 12 years old versus at 15, 16, 18.
Years behind.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a blessing.
Tashawn, Raph, like I said, you see the game from even a different standpoint at that point. So how do you see the game developing, and especially from our standpoint, collegiately, whatever the case is, you know, even from a young standpoint?
I think what I noticed is two things. The level of access is different mm-hmm. and the ceiling's different. When I talk about the ceiling meaning like, before NCAA, maybe was the goal, like maybe. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like we saw a bunch of mans go NCAA. It was like, I hope it could, it maybe could happen. We'll see. But now it's like, mans are saying, I'm going to the league. Yeah. So the ceiling's different. So their mindset is now changed. Like, I want to go to the league and it's possible because a whole bunch of mans who we all have some, like a few degrees of separation from have gone there. Now, the level of access being different, things as simple as getting a gym. You know how hard it was for us to get a gym back in the day? Like, when I'm reffing now, I'm going to these factories. I'm thinking it's a factory. I go in, there's a basketball court.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
The game's growing.
The game has grown to the point where it's like, gym time is not as scarce as it used to be. Like, you can get in the gym almost everywhere and anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, the level of access has changed. Now, from watching the game, the skill level is unbelievable. You'll see guys 1 through 5, highly skilled players. Are they as tough as we used to be? Debatable. Because I think there's more video now.
They're not.
They're not. They're not.
Don't.
And I think
they're not.
I think because like I truly believe something about the fact that every game is being recorded. Trying very hard means you also could get embarrassed really badly. And I think there's something about that, not wanting to get dunked on or crossed. Where it's like guys play at a certain pace where it's like they want to look cool. Like there's like a cool factor to the game now mm-hmm. that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about skill, access, ceiling, the whole game has leveled up. And it's like it's obviously showing in the data, but it's showing in what we're seeing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Freck, talked about you being a father. How you see it?
I just look at it and I say sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because I didn't start playing basketball till late, right? And then, like you said, everybody has their moment when they realize they're not that good mm-hmm. or you could be better. But when I was playing with these guys, I was like, I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
No, you see, we're loud. I'm like, I'm joking. I see Tashawn jumping through the gym, splashing a man's face and then take off. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that made me go a little harder so that when I look back at my son, I don't look at his mistakes or what he could do better. I look at the other kid who I'm like, whoa, we need to get you there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this one kid that stands out to me. I'm like, how is he that good already?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is little Filipino kid. Oh, my God, bro. I know you guys see what laugh about if I show you.
See how long.
I'm going back there. That's
see how long I last.
I thought you were about to show us the movie.
Bro, they have something about them.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, Noah, I'm gonna keep my son around this.
Genetically, they're just here.
Yeah, and then, but I know he's gonna grow and he's gonna be bigger, mm-hmm. stronger than them. But he has the skills already that mm-hmm. they made him develop. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, you know what? We're gonna get you there, but we're gonna get you here because I know when it gets, it's gonna come to the point where I hate to say you're gonna be bigger, stronger, and faster than them. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like I said, there's this one kid that stands out to me. Bro, I watch his highlight tapes. He has highlight tapes in grade two.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you see what I'm saying?
So game's growing?
Yeah.
Bro, so when I watch that, I say, we got to get you there because defensively, my son can move.
Right.
He can shoot the ball. You know, he could dribble it. But, you know, we're working on the aggression. So he's really aggressive now, and he's taking the ball out of kids' hands. So when I see the game, like I say, the sky's the limit, right? Because I was not playing basketball in grade one or two. I don't know what I was doing, yeah. but it wasn't basketball, mm-hmm. right? And seeing them play at grade two already and seeing from where he came from we started at this jump basketball program mm-hmm. to being at the Monarchs mm-hmm. to now actually playing organized basketball. And a lot of kids, what I realized, as good as they are, they don't understand the game.
Right.
And making him understand his positioning, where to be on the court, the angles. When he's starting to learn that, he's starting to get better and better and beating guys much easier instead of mm-hmm. going around, going through them.
You're not just teaching them skill, you're teaching them IQ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. bro. And that, to be honest, a lot of these kids, like I said, they're really skilled, but they don't understand the game. Mm. So that's why I say sky's the limit. And if those kids understand the game with the skill that they have, bro. And another moment we had was, you know, when you go to LA and you're playing or whatever, thinking you're the man, some young boy came in the gym, probably like 6'4", 6'5", handle, whatever. When this kid took off, I tried, you know, when you catch yourself, you take a step back. I'm not getting dunked on like Deshaun said in LA. Right? I'm like, where you get those hops from?
Yeah.
Right? So, because when I was playing, I couldn't jump like that.
Yeah.
Seeing these guys jump now, like, what are you eating? Yeah. I need some of that.
Yeah. Right? The game's different.
No, as you said, access, though, like Deshaun said, access, these kids are like lifting early.
Yeah.
With guidance.
Now, we were always taught, oh, you don't lift at that age. It's going to stunt your growth.
No. Like, we were also just doing whatever we felt like doing or we thought was right. Mm. Whereas these kids are, you know, they have prep programs in seventh grade, eighth grade, like Royal Crown. That's where I had nephew going when he was here. There's like seventh grade kids that I train that go there, and they have like workout program. They lift like 2-3 days a week, bands and all that stuff. Like, imagine doing that at 11, 12, understanding activating your posterior chain. Like, dude, what is that? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah, no, but yeah, you know, you're learning the hinge pattern. You're learning these movements that are beneficial for you as an athlete at 12 years old. I mean, again, it's just a different ball game now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if they use it the right way, which, you know, we can get into that, the approach that some of these kids have, if they use it the right way, the sky really is the limit, you know, but it's really up to them.
So Tyndale, you're a guy that played basketball, bro. Like mm-hmm. I said, GTA legacy in terms of what you did at Father Michael Gates and, you know, just knowing you to be a winner. You went to school with Andrew Nicholson and things mm-hmm. like that. And avenue to go pro, be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
You were a pro.
Mm-hmm.
After injury, though, how you transition now? Yeah, I mean,
No, this is the real. This is the stuff that, you know, you don't want to open these wounds, but at the same time, it's like part of the healing.
Yeah,
it's crazy because like the transition was rough.
Yeah,
and I'm sure for everybody it was rough, but mine was like, it was kind of like I was going like this because I was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. People don't really know this, but like ninth grade, I was like I was getting cut from the Monarchs. You know, out of my friend group, I wasn't the best one up until like the 10th, 11th grade.
Right.
You know, people don't really know that, but it's because I just put the work in. I understood how to work. I understood that like your regimen is everything. So I really ate, slept and shit this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like at an age, when you're going out to parties, I joke about these stories all the time, but like you're coming home and it's 4:30 in the morning. Man, I'm going to McDonald's breakfast. I'm dropping Menem off and I'm going straight to the gym. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's the type of sacrifices that were made. So, you know, when that energy can't be put into that anymore and it's kind of taken away, you feel lost. So I definitely went through a phase where, you know, you don't know what to do. You feel lost. You feel like you got robbed. Because my injury was non-contact, bro. I didn't even get hit. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. I wasn't like, you know what I mean? And then I had a surgeon, which people don't know why I really stopped. I had a surgeon that didn't do the surgery right. So I had to go back for a second surgery and I had to remove all my cartilage in my knee. So just so you know, it's like, it wasn't like, oh, I got a one injury and I just copped out. It was like, I had an injury and then I had a next one. And it was so bad because I let it go so far gone. I hadn't known, like, yo, something wasn't done right. I'm assuming it was done right. So I'm following the protocol. But then when I had to go back under the knife and had to remove everything, it was like, yo, I can't even practice 2 days in a row. If I can't practice 2 days in a row, I'm not myself. I'm not who I am. So it was a thing where, you know, don't get me wrong. I stay in shape. I can still move. But if I can't put the work in and keep myself at a level that I want, that I know I am at and that I know I'm capable of, I don't want to have a part of this because that's part of who I am. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't responding well. But yeah, that time was dark. And I think the biggest thing that kind of kept me and got me back on my feet was, you know, the children. And I say that, like, my nephew, he's like my son, you know. Me and my brother, Jonathan, JT, like, we're Batman and Robin. And, you know, when he had a son, it was like, I felt like I had a son for real. You know what I mean? Like, and he took after me very much so. Like, he had an affinity towards me right away. And, you know, he was watching me play in university. That was the first basketball he saw. And I know that he kind of like took a style, definitely, like that was similar when he started playing the game. So as I was going through this tough time, like, he talk about these second graders having mixtapes. Goddamn, this kid was putting kids on skates, like, yeah, playing 3 years up, like dropping 35. I'm like, yo, like, so as sad as I am, I'm seeing this young king like do what he's doing and become who he's becoming and write his own story. And I just knew, like, you know, holding on to that and trying to live vicariously through him kind of got me back on my feet. It kept me closer to the game. Trying to do other things just to feed myself with positivity. I've always been, you know, considered a mentor, if you want to say, just always taking the young guys under my wing, like trying to keep them out of trouble, kind of keep them in the gym. I started doing some stuff with a program called Ahead of the Game. Mm-hmm. It was Pinball Clemens that kind of had this program. And one of my high school boys that played football, but also was a basketball guy, Enoch, he kind of connected us and started doing that and working with youth and being in the schools, working with troubled youth. It gave me a feeling of purpose, just where, you know, it was much greater than like me making a certain move or putting the ball in the net. It was like, I'm actually impacting so much more. Right. And I had to kind of like reinvent myself and, you know, go through those hard days, but also, you know, just like I said, feed myself positivity, writing down affirmations, reading certain things like daily just to continue to love myself, you know, because I got all this attention all of a sudden after being like a regular. And then all of a sudden I was like, boom, oh, yo, he could score. Like, I'm getting attention from every, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a vibe. Like, I'm like, shoot, this is the type of celebrity type. You know what I mean? So when you feel like you made an identity through something and then that's taken, you have to reinvent yourself. And I just kind of like buried almost a lot of the memories of me as a player and wanted to like rewrite a story as me as the coach. You know what I mean? And it was hard to kind of forget certain things, but like I really had to, you know. And it kind of was like you're letting somebody go, you know. You're losing somebody, a loved one or whatever. That's what it felt like, you know. Like the dreams don't stop; they still happen, you know. Like it's crazy; they still happen. But you know, the youth was everything that saved me. That saved me for sure.
So you would say that's the kind of the mental, like the emotional and mental part that kind of kept you connected.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought about what I needed growing up. I thought about the fact that, you know, access is improved. I thought about the fact that, again, there's access not just to the gym, but access to the people that have actually made it.
Right.
So you kids are able to be around pros, like they're in your backyard. You're able to go into certain gyms and you're gonna see Nikhil.
Yeah.
You're gonna see RJ. You can come to RJ's camp. We got players that are in the league running camps and having 200 kids in the gym.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You can go to a Dylan Brooks camp. Like, that wasn't a thing. Whose camp were we going to?
Yeah. It's better life.
You guys ain't no camp.
Vince barely had one, I feel.
Vince is not Canadian.
Canadian.
Air Canada is not Canadian. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a different connection. Right. You know what I mean? So, and it makes the dream, like we said, a reality. Like, yeah, the fact that these guys have done it, I could potentially follow in these footsteps if I'm, you know, following the habits and, you know, taking the guidance the right way. So, no, it's I knew that it was what was needed. And like I said, my nephew, like, he became my why. Like, the children, yes, but my nephew really became my why. It was a lot of pressure for him, but he didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't know
it's funny that you said a lot of pressure, because your brother, I want to give big props to that. Like, that's my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, that's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't know it was your brother, you know.
No way.
He made me know. He's like, oh, you know, you don't know. Yeah. David has a brother. I'm like, who?
Yeah.
And I it's funny because I was always around your brother at LA. We always play against each other.
Yeah.
Cool guy. But the point I'm trying to make is like when I look at your nephew's game,
mm-hmm.
bro, I'm like, that's
Tendon. Identical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bro, like, and I know a lot of people, you know, they might not see it. I look at it and I tell your brother, I'm like, you guys got a problem with you.
Mm-hmm.
That boy's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy. Like I said, the first ball he saw was that. And then my brother, like you said, like, tip my hat to him. Like, he is the number one, like, fan and critic of Javion. Mm-hmm. And you need that. And as we talk about what these kids need and what everybody really needs, you know, is the tough love and is the accountability. And is people in your corner just telling you the truth. Because, you know, it's very easy to... you know, just run with the praise.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like your good is good enough,
mm-hmm.
but that's a cap. It's not good enough because there's somebody who's willing to run through a wall and you're not running through a wall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you ask what you want. What do you want from the game? Oh, kids will say answers, like some real good answers on like generational wealth. I'm like, what are you talking about? You want generational wealth? You want longevity? Like, okay, so do your habits speak to that?
Right.
If it's a no, then we gotta switch it up. You know, you gotta know about it. You gotta hear about it. You know, so
it's funny to me that you said that part. Like, you had to forget certain memories, but like for me, one of my earliest memories of you is being a coach. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, as you were playing, like, you used to be like, "Yo, you come to the gym, you come to the Y at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of showed me that hard work. And I don't think I was even at the time was even ready to receive it.
Yep.
But like, I think you had purpose. I think your eyes were set on something else differently, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I love the way you transitioned because, again, you were, to me, you were a player, but you already had that coach aspect or mentor or like teaching the game and showing guys what it takes to get to the next level.
Yeah.
No, I respect you for that because, like, again, that was one of my earliest lessons into like, okay, this is what it takes to be a pro.
Yeah. You know, and I'm lucky for like Elijah Long and like Naz Long and those guys, Cody, because those were the guys that I started like taking under my wing, you know, because I'm the youngest of brothers. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, like, my brother's toughing me up like from a mental aspect and like, yo, you're playing like, oh,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They had me on go. Like, the game start and I'm like, I have to kill right now.
So I'll say, Johnny talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
So I'll say, to interject, that's one of the things that I noticed going on way early when I was playing basketball within the GTA community. The Wolfpack guys, you guys were a real friend group.
Mm-hmm.
To look at what emulated a friend group and mm-hmm. keeping people accountable, keeping people real, showing up, all these different things is, and even to now, like I said, I go to Elijah's games when he was playing for Brampton during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I see front row? Bubba,
of course.
Corey.
Of course.
Like, all these guys show up for him, right? And it's amazing to see that that's what has been the same.
Yeah,
all throughout the same levels.
Not
you know that
sure.
The support, like I said, the showing up, people keeping each other accountable and making sure that you're doing what we know you're capable mm-hmm. of. And I feel like that's important. So, you know, I want to commend you guys.
Yeah, no, for sure, bro. It's a tight knit group, and you know, from day one, everyone, like, we all look at it like we all have this goal and this dream. And you know what I mean? Not everybody knows what's needed to be done. Like I said, like, at a time when I wanted certain guidance, I never got that. Yeah. I got screamed at. Like, cool, that's blessed. Like I said, it has me, has the goal, it has the motor going, but it doesn't teach me the specifics of, you know, what I need. And I started to like study the game, and I have always like been a student in that way. And as you said, like, that coach aspect, it kind of came from just looking at them and like looking at how can I get them better? Like, if it were me, what would I want somebody to give me?
Yeah,
you know, because I remember wanting to be good so bad and like at a point where it just wasn't clicking for me because I was small as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it just, the confidence wasn't fully all the way there yet, you know? So, yeah.
So what were some of the biggest lessons I think that you would say you learned in the transition from coaching or from playing to coaching? And then
lessons.
Yeah. How did you be a better man off the court?
One of the things, no situation. There's a couple lessons I'd say. One thing is like that no situation is permanent. You know, sometimes like when you're in a rut, like, and you feel like you're in just such a bad place, it feels like you're never going to get out of it. But just being able to get out of it, one that just definitely taught me like tough times really don't last, just like for real, because I thought that was rock bottom. Like, mm-hmm. I thought Like I was over it, bro. I didn't want to be, I don't want to be here, bro, for real. Just call it what it is. You know what I'm saying? And just being able to get out of that hole was just super critical. But the transition, just using the game as well in a different way, it just made me really realize how valuable a lot of the lessons, you know, that you learn and the habits that you adopt as a player, especially when you're trying to be elite, how they're transferable to different areas of life, you know. And me now as a coach and as a trainer, you know, like I'm obsessed, you know what I'm saying? Like I watch so much film. I can't stop watching basketball. I can't stop wanting to get better at what I'm doing. Like I always want to upgrade my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it shows in what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Cause there's always more to learn. If you're stuck and you're stopping, then, you know, then you're not going to build the way you expect. So I just try to put the same effort and energy that I put into something else. And, you know, passion can take you, you know, like I had a passion for it. And, you know, at the start, when you start training, you start doing something like this from the ground up without much direction, it's tough to make ends meet at first. You know what I'm saying? It's like a risk you're taking. You're almost betting on yourself. But just the diligence that I had as a player, the hunger that I had training myself playing, just putting that same energy into this, it just made me realize, like in business especially, and rubbing shoulders with different people, like your passion, you could use your passion and get paid for your passion. You know what I mean? So shoot, at this point, you know, the price is always going up and
I love it.
The price is always going up, but that keeps the pressure on me, because it's like, if I'm going to give this service and charge this dollar and this much, I got to make it worth it. Yeah. So whatever extras I can bring, whatever ways I can build and do more and be better, like there's always something. And I may not know what my next progression is, but you know, when the price goes up again, which is inevitable, you know, there's going to be more that I bring to the table, you know? So yeah, keeps me on my heels.
Tashawn, Theon, I know you guys had similar dark areas when it came to basketball ending. You know what I mean? And kind of transitioning, do you guys feel that kind of those same sentiments of trying to transition from there, taking those passions, those important lessons that you learned through basketball, and then transitioning into being the better man off of the court? I don't know if any of you guys want to start or.
I mean, I could go first. Like for me, basketball didn't end with an injury, mm-hmm. not a physical one, actually. It was more like of a heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And I kind of talked to you guys about it, like feeling like I made my team lose. That kind of feeling was like, that was a mental one. That felt like a mental injury. Like, I never want to play this game seriously again. And then, like, after university, I'm like, I'm not going pro. I'm going to get a job. And what happens is you go from feeling so important and being praised and being feeling like people are checking on your coaches, calling you, teammates, to, like, nothing. A next man's wearing your jersey.
Next,
sit on the bench, ruining the name of your jersey. Yeah. But like, yo, like, it's almost like everything just moves on as if you never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And watching your old team play as if you never were on it, like it's not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like no one teaches you. No one talks about this. I didn't feel like at the time anybody talked about that transition, and nobody teaches you how to take the same skills that David's talking about that you learn in this game and bring them into life, because you think they all apply to the game. That discipline, that resilience, that leadership, all the things you learn within the game are applicable skills to your real life.
Uh-huh.
But you start in real life at a job acting like you're starting from zero. Mm. And that feeling of starting from scratch, feeling like a nobody, lost your identity, it's a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, like, your boss Tom doesn't care that you played ball.
Mm-hmm. Or that you scored 30.
Oh, that you scored 30, he doesn't care. He said, bro, work started 10 minutes ago, you're late.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He doesn't care. No one cares that you used to be an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes at my job, I didn't even think I worked there. Like, you play security? You're working a corporate job, it's like you don't fit in, you don't feel like you belong.
Yeah.
It's not a good place to be in. And like for me, I just remember feeling sad. Just this feeling of like heaviness, sadness. Didn't know why though. I'm like, this something's just not right in my life. And it was because like basketball was my everything. Mm-hmm. And then it went to being a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a breakup, a cold turkey one. Man. The thing I love was gone. And I think that's why I got into coaching and reffing, because it gave me like a step back into the game. And it's like the game is more than just playing. It's community. It's family. Mm-hmm. It's personal development. It's growth. Like you witness your growth through every step of the journey. Like it's just the game. We talk about it so much because it's such a big part of our lives. And it's not just a game. It's so much more than that. And for me, it was like losing that. It's hard.
It's hard, brother. Deion, talk to me. What do you feel? How do you feel about that?
So my transition out of it was a little bit different. I stopped playing basketball during COVID. We were in a time of like uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Never knew when we were going to go back. And I always had this idea in my head that if I can make more money at home, then I'm going to just kind of hang it up. Obviously, during COVID, teams didn't really have money. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there just being like, I'm not trying to do these COVID tests up my nose all the time. And I guess you could call it stubborn and just not really wanting to put in the work because I didn't know what was going to come of it anymore. But I think I got a good reception of like, so I was home now, I started doing some work and whatever. And I think I eased more into working a job because I had like these skills. Like you talk about these transferable skills. Mm-hmm. I think I started working and I remember everybody being like, oh man, this job's so hard. And I'm like, hard? Like you don't know what hard is. And I'm not to say that that's not hard to them, but like when you're doing 2-3 a days and you know what I mean, then you're gonna go play ball with your friends and then you're gonna
17s.
Go, yeah, 17 suicides and yeah. The beep test and all this stuff, and you know you don't reach it, and your coach just says, "Do it again." I'm like, hard to write hard. to write a letter to my boss. Yeah. This is not hard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think I gained those transferable skills where it's like, okay, now I learned to apply this easily. I'm like, okay, cool. They're saying this is hard. This is an opportunity for me to bring my competitive nature now. Like, okay, this is not hard to me. Mm-hmm. I can do this, and it kind of like I don't want to say it set me apart, but I kind of just started to realize that. Like all these things that I was doing basketball, I can apply to this and it's moving me ahead and you're getting recognition. And again, I'm not really like in the corporate world, but in my field, it's moved me up in a way that like kind of separates me. Mm-hmm. Because again, all these skills that we've worked on, whether it's resilience, hard work, dedication, it's allowed me to kind of progress into life and I guess show my ability in a different court.
Yep. I wanted to even just add a point, like my we were talking about my high school teammate Andrew Nicholson. Every time, you know, he was a certain type of dude, bro, like taking physics and chemistry and all. Like, and I'm not gonna lie, like I was a like very very academic student. Like, you know, I took it very serious as well. Like my discipline that I had as a basketball player was the same thing. Just a perfectionist, like wanting to get the perfect grade. Like I was that kind of guy. But Nicholson was more of that, even more so. And his thing that he always used to say is use the game. Like the game is a vessel. And I wish that is something that was taught more to people and like, and elaborated on. Mm-hmm. Not to say like, oh, just like strictly basketball, use the game. Like, yeah, sure. I had other things that I had interest in, you know, like non-basketball, you know, with my mind, I felt like I could have taken things a lot of places, you know what I'm saying? But using the game, like a lot of kids don't really understand what that looks like. So they only use the game and focus on the game instead of, okay, am I going to practice these skills that I have in this game in other areas? Like, I don't know if you guys were those type of students, but I know you were a good student. You guys took it serious. You guys were disciplined enough to a degree. Yeah. But there's some kids now that have none of that. Right. And I feel like it's harder for them to transition when it gets to that point because they've never really used these skills that they have now, right now, in the phase they are in other areas. You know what I mean? They're loose. They have no discipline. They won't clean if they gotta clean. They don't stretch after the games, even though they have trainers telling them to do it. Like, you know what I mean? The level of thoroughness and the way they, like I said, approach it is a little different. And it worries me because when it gets to that point, you know, it makes it a lot more challenging. And I feel like that's what's kind of made it a lot easier for, say, us, you know, than others. It's like, instead of putting all your eggs in that basket and just only trying in that area. Trying other things and know what it means to actually try in other areas. You know what I'm saying? If you, the guys that just try in basketball, look what they, look how they end up. It's tough.
I think
you're stuck, right? You know what I'm saying? You feel stuck. So it's like, that's what I think is something that's important. You know?
I think that's one of the things that we were misguidedly taught was the plan A, plan B. I don't have no plan B because plan A is going to work, type of thing. Like, I think that's just a misguided thought where it's like you said, don't put everything in one basket because these skills that you learn here are transferable. So it's okay for you to go ahead and try these different things. And I think that's an important message to pass on, especially for all of us. We're robbing ourselves, and it's important to do the due diligence and letting the future come along and letting these people in the future know, or these kids in the future know, that it's okay to try in other areas that you, you know, also almost come naturally in. Like these skills are that transferable that they be also, they just kind of fall in your lap in a sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's important that you notice that, and that's what you instill.
No, for sure. I mean? Have other interests too, like interests, like trying other things, but have other interests.
Yes.
Because the balance is so key, because the transition, like I said, becomes much tougher, you know? So having that balance, other things that you can love, quote unquote, love, not that, you may not love it the same, but you know, you love it to a degree. It's kind of easy to switch that over to that area, you know? So
with that being one of the challenges, I wanted to ask you, what are some other challenges, or some of the bigger challenges that you see NBA guys or some of the younger players that you do train and coach? What are those things, both on and or off the court?
I think the challenges, like, at each level vary. I think, I call these young guys, like, I say young guys now, this is crazy.
You're old head, brother.
Holy smokes. I'm 35. This is crazy. I don't feel it at all. But the younger guys, like, you see in the NBA or professional level, again, within a season, you know, you're with your team. No disrespect to some of the staffs, but you know, I feel like it's a lot of yes men in the NBA, and there's just a certain level of accountability that's not there when it comes to the little things, like what is the quality of your footwork before the ball comes to you on a shot? You know, how prepared are you to catch and play off the catch? What is your body position? Are you standing straight up, or are you blowing ready? Like, did you run your lane hard in transition? Like how about that? Like, did you actually run your lane hard? Because even if you got the ball or not, you're gonna open up the rim run, the middleman who's trailing, because you ran lane. You understand what I'm saying? So little concepts like that, you know, it's a problem. And I think across both levels, or all levels, people aren't watching enough basketball. Like, just not watching. Like, if you watch the game, if you sit down and actually watch games start to finish, you're gonna see how things materialize. You're gonna see how things developed. You're gonna see, you know, shoot, if a player has a spectacular performance, how did they get grooving? How did they get going? If a team makes a crazy comeback, you're gonna see how they did it. They weren't trying to hit home runs every play. They were doing it possession after possession, getting stops. But those are things that help you understand the game a lot more. And you know, guys, a lot of players make it to the NBA, and there's a complacency that comes in play. I think that you need people in your corner to keep you obsessed, keep you hungry. Because money is, there's a lot of money that these guys are getting paid and thrown. You know what I mean? And it's easy to get into a lifestyle and, you know, just kind of think that, I made it, you know, but that's first contract. And the lifestyle you want to live, that money's going to be gone. So you got to plan for your next one. So what are you doing to get the next one and have the next one be bigger than this first one? You know what I mean? So and I think it's the same thing across the board with this. Like, it's a form of delusion that's had sometimes with just athletes. The younger kids have goals, they have dreams that they have, and they want to get to a certain level, but their action does not coincide at all with that. Like, it's like way left. Like, you're doing the completely wrong things. Like, you know what I mean? And again, the lack of accountability. So younger kids, you know, watch the game more. Keep people in your corner that are going to hold you accountable, you know, not give you praise strictly. You need people that are going to give you constructive criticism and feedback, you know, build you up, break you down, build you up, break you down. Like, you need that, because, you know, growth comes outside your comfort zone. And, you know, at the highest level, like, again, it's the same thing. I think that sticks too. It's something that's important. And, you know, people just need to stay obsessed, have that Mamba mentality. Like, that's something that I feel like should be adopted by everyone. It's like, why are we halfway in? You know, if we're going to be in it, let's be all the way in it. You know, I think it's the best game in the world. I think when you make it something that it can pay you, it's the best job in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, as a player, let's call it that. So, you know, don't disrespect the game. I feel like a lot of people just need to respect the game a lot more, because we're all given gifts, and, you know, don't let your plant die. Like, water your plant. Like, let's continue to grow every day. You know, I think a lot of people just got to keep their foot on the gas.
Open it up to the room. Oh, if you guys had any questions after that, Tashaun, it looked like he had.
I didn't have no quick. They would give me app. Like, yeah, they're like, I'm going harder at everything.
I'm ready to get back into the gym.
You know what I mean? Like, chunk. Let's go all the way in. So the podcast, we're studying this thing.
Yeah.
No, but I think you do echo some good things. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I never really was one to watch podcasts like that. I would watch like Joe Budden mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, now, like, I find myself on a golf. I don't even really listen to music when I'm in the car.
You're in your craft. Podcast. You're in your craft.
It's like learning, okay, like nuances that these guys, mm-hmm. how to interview people, how to have it, keep a conversation, and just kind of seeing what I want to mold my game to.
Absolutely.
I guess. And like even us as a podcast, what we're trying to even achieve.
Transferable mm-hmm. skills that.
Exactly.
I have a question for the room. Sorry.
No, you're blessed.
From your guys' experience and what separates, you know, like from basketball, let me just say that. From experience in basketball, right? Let's move it into off the court. What do you guys think is, if you guys could sum it up in one word, how do I put this now? Personal development. With personal development, what have you got? If you could sum up one word that you took from basketball, how would you now give that to the audience to say, yo, how you guys have improved your personal development?
Self-awareness.
Loved up.
Why? Why that one?
I mean, if you're critical of yourself, you're going to understand like how you can get better. And like I said, there's a lot of delusional people. Mm. And I think, I don't know, for me, I was always a perfectionist. So I like always was like trying to figure out what I could be better at. What were my flaws? Like what do I need to do? You know what I mean? And I feel like that's something that, you know, as you grow up, you become a man, shoot. For me, like even turning 30, like I remember that phase and how that transition happened. And, you know, the things that started to come to my mind, like the origins of why I am who I am, why my habits as a man are what they are, where these things came from, where, you know, why I click the way I click or why I tick the way I tick, why I'm who I am. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of gave me like a deeper dive into like, okay, like my origin story. And, you know, it made me have a better realization of how I can change things. So I think that self-awareness is something that, you know, as an athlete, you should always be self-aware. Mm-hmm. I think I preach that to my kids from now. It's like, I had a conversation, I forget my rambling, but I had a conversation with a kid yesterday, seventh grader. And, you know, his dad called me like, oh, there's some games where he just doesn't try. And then some games I said, yo, do you do self checks? He's like, what does that mean? I said, every dead ball, you should be checking. Like, what am I on right now? Mm. And this is how I played. I was like, what am I doing right now? Am I getting to it or am I passive? Am I chilling or am I on go? And like, every time I do a self check, it would snap me back into it. Like, okay, I'm being timid. Fuck it. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me lock in and be back on my mode. Like, so I think that's, like I said, self-awareness, self-checks, whatever it is. I'm just being in tune with, you know, what is. And that was something I feel like all athletes should do. I don't know if anyone else did that or, you know what I'm saying, does that. But that was something for me that helped me, you know, become a better man. Because every day there's always room for improvement, you know.
Yes, sir. I'll go next if you guys want.
Go ahead.
I think my word to sum everything up would be patience.
Mm.
That helped me understand the idea of, again, even going back to something like as quick as not a play can't be saved with a home run. You see what I'm saying? It's progressions to the game.
Chess, not checkers.
You see what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where it's like patience taught me like, yo, okay, cool. They went on a run. Our run will come. We just got to do the right things to get us there, mm-hmm. right? That's patience. Now taking it off court, understanding that, yo, you had a bad day today. It's not life, though. It's not your whole life. You can get it, God willing, get it tomorrow. You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? We come in, check ourselves, self-awareness is important. But yeah, patience for me, there's a lot of things I feel like with anger, you know, aggression that comes with men. You know, we feel like we have to boast our chest out a little bit and have to be on a certain or whatever the case is, right? It's one of those things where I felt like with patience, work yourself through that, calm down, end up being yourself again, you know? Yeah. So it's one of those things where I feel like it's really, really applicable to just personal development.
I like those two. Self-awareness, self-talk. I actually never did that when I played.
Yeah.
When I reffed, I learned to do that. I was really taught as like, what's the time? What's the score? Mm-hmm. Who are the defenders? Mm-hmm. Where are, like, that's what I learned. But like talking to myself while I played mm-hmm. was not a thing. And I think that is actually a really helpful one yeah. for sure. Even just in life, being yeah. able to be able to speak to yourself, be like, yeah. yo, what am I on right now?
Being engaged. Yeah, you got to be engaged.
You know what I mean? Patience is another big one. Mine would be resilience. And it's similar to patience in the sense that I think in basketball, we learn very quickly, like losing a game is not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Right? We take L's, lose by 20, 30. It's like, okay, what do we learn? How do we regroup? How do we get back? And sometimes in life, we forget to take that skill out of that. Because in life, when we take an L, we act like it's the end of the world. It's the end of our life. Like something went wrong. I don't want to live anymore. It's the end. And really, like, every story has a point where things get hard. Every good story, uh-huh. any good movie is good because there was a shitty part and there was a bad part for the main character. And I think sometimes in life we can forget that, but like resilience that we learn through sport reminds us that there's going to be wins. Wins don't last forever. Losses don't last forever. But keep going.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's like resilience just reminds me that. Just keep going. Don't give up. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. It's all good.
Absolutely.
I would say, like, goal setting and, like, that delusion. I think when we play basketball, we always, like, yo, I want to play in the NBA. I want to be a McDonald's All-American. These are things that are, I guess, if you're telling to somebody, they'd be like, this is delusional. But I'd say that translated into my life, like, with it, for example, running one of the hottest restaurants in Toronto. When I said I was going to go apply there, I was like, I'm not going to get the job. This is delusion. Uh-huh. But you know what I mean? I ended up being the general manager. And like, again, kind of like you said, chess, not checkers. And just, okay, now I'm here. What's the next step? Okay. All right. Now I'm going to get the assistant general manager. Not just being a token guy. Okay. Now I got the general manager. And like, again, running the whole restaurant. But it's just, when I played ball, goal setting was a big thing for me. I think my second year playing basketball, I was like, yo, I got to dunk in a game. And my mom was like, what are you talking about? Like, you never even dunked ever in your life. And the first time I ever dunked in a game was the first time I ever dunked the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like I practiced this and I ever, like, the first time I ever dunked a basketball was the first time I ever, in a game.
That's crazy.
But these are things that, yeah, like, I had this goal for myself and that I wanted to achieve. And I think that's something that I've kind of brought out of basketball into my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mine's is simple. It's just learning, right? Like learning a lot of things throughout life, like on the court, learning the game, learning different parts of the game, learning how to shoot, learn how to dribble, and then like transitioning to off the court. Like I work an HVAC job for Intercare. Learning how to do the job without anybody telling us how to do it every day because you have different tasks. Right. And I'm a quick learner. So learning that and then like learning how to be a father. Right. Because we weren't really taught how to be a father. If you don't have a father figure in your life, like, you know, learning as you go, like, oh, my son doesn't like that, but my daughter does, you know, so and then learning how to be a husband. Right. I never had these role models, you know, not having anybody to teach you how to do it. So to me, it's just learning right every day.
I don't think that's simple, but I think always being a student is important. You know what I mean? Like you say that as if it's everybody could do that. I don't think everybody has the awareness to understand that. You know what I mean? I think being a student at all times, knowing is honestly, humbly knowing yourself. It goes back to self-awareness. It's kind of that I'm not always the most knowledgeable in the space that I'm in. So I'm going to try to learn.
No, I'm stubborn, you know, so keep it a bug. Like I'm stubborn. So it's like, yo, you were wrong on this. Yeah. Right. But then when it's like, you know, when the situation calms down and you think about it, you're like,
I could have been better.
I was wrong. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I won't tell you guys right away.
Leadership and accountability. Tyndall, what kind of character traits do you try to instill in these young men that you train? How do you guide them not only to be better athletes, but also better men?
There's a ton, to be honest. The ones that are up top, I would say, is just a motor. Like the number one thing is like put in effort for me. Like effort and attitude are two things I'm constantly preaching. But the number one thing is like having that motor and being able to put effort. Like I remember this Michael Jordan quote that was always big to me. And it was like, I can't accept not trying. Mm. And I just remember that. It was just like, can't accept not trying. Like, and whatever it is, you talk about learning new skills. Like, I'm not just going to avoid this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we got to take things head on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And being able to just, again, know what's real and know what I need. You know what I mean? Like, again, we sit here and talk about delusion. We talk about, you know, the self-checks and knowing what I have and what I'm capable of, what I need to get better at. Again, being able to do that and then run with it and grow from it is a whole nother level, right? People can look at it and then, you know, say, oh, this is what it is, but they're afraid and they run from that. So take things head on. I definitely tell these guys, like, you know, have the right mindset in terms of your approach to your development. So, you know, your motor, your effort, and then your attitude, not to have a soft skin, like have a tougher skin, because, you know, again, how do you receive information? How you receive information is important to you if you actually receive the information. Like, we don't know if you received it, if your energy is, you know, defensive, or you're blocking your blessings, if you want to say, just based on, you know, your body language. That's a part of attitude, in my opinion, right? But so all those things, just, you know, be a stand-up person in those ways, because it's going to allow you to just, again, climb the ladder in whatever area it is, because we don't know it all. You know what I mean? So those are two big things. Just as young men, especially, because there's a lot of young men that I train, young boys more so. Mm-hmm. Again, being vocal. Mm. I think that's a specific skill that I want them to have. Like, I mean, shoot, me talking on a podcast, for one, is not something that 15 years ago I would be doing, even though on the basketball court I was vocal. But it made me realize, like, yo, you have to be able to speak, especially young black men. You know what I'm saying? Like, and speak articulately. Like, people are going to look at you with a different vibe. So for those young boys especially, it's like, yo, you got to be that much better, not just as a basketball player, but just as a young man, yeah, just overall. So, you know, being able to be vocal and communicate, and communicate in the right way. Because not only is that a thing for just like the basketball game, like, that's for life as well. You know, a lot of us have fiancés, wives, girlfriends, and all that. And, you know, communication is what keeps relationships together. Yeah, call it what it is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and that's in everything. That's in the workplace. That's in whatever field. Like, you have to be able to communicate. So, yeah, those are a couple of the big things, you know. We can go out on a list, talk about discipline, but, you know, and all those things. Yeah. But again, the top three, like, yeah, effort, attitude, and your ability to communicate. Those are big for me.
What's funny is I want to ask about motor, right? So growing up playing basketball or any sport, the word with a surrounding motor would be like, yo, he just doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is that something that you feel like that can actually be tough?
Ooh, holy, that's a tough one. I mean, some kids just don't have it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest. But it's not necessarily their fault.
Right.
It's not their fault. Like, they're just, yeah, like, some things are stopping that, yeah, that they can't control. But a lot of the things are like, yeah, the foundation that's been put in place for them,
yeah,
how they were brought up, how they listen, how they receive things. If they weren't reprimanded and kind of shown, like, this is how you're supposed to receive, you know, your authoritative figure in this situation, then, you know, it's tough. But if it's someone who's, you know, capable of change and adaptable to, you know, different environments, and, you know, you could see where there's kids that you can develop that. I mean, you got to get creative when it comes to motor. You know, a lot of time drills, you know, like anything where there's the clock is involved is what gets it, you know, because a lot of trainers and you know, coaches, they do some boring ass shit. We all remember growing up, like, our coaches, no disrespect, like, I don't know, I didn't have, like, the greatest coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I had some good ones, definitely, but I didn't have the greatest coaches all my times playing basketball. But, you know, loved all of them, for sure. But there was times where a lot of the stuff we did was very mundane. Mm. And I would literally be in practice, because I was the type of guy to be like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I don't want to do this. I need more right now. Like, I can't.
Like, why? Like, I would ask the question, like, why are we doing this? Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? So, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I have a question. So back to the motor thing. Somebody doesn't have a motor, could they still, like, be a great player?
Absolutely. You could be a great player with no motor. Like, I mean, that's because you have natural ability a lot of the times. You know what I mean? Like, I remember a player that I was working with who ended up making it to the league at a point, and you know, talented as they come, but his coach was literally saying, you know, he's the kind of guy that gives 80%, but you still start him every game.
Yeah.
You still start him every game. You're openly saying, you're enabling this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people look at me like I'm crazy for screaming at people, but like, and screaming at kids from young, like to get their urgency up. But I mean, fear motivates sometimes. So my style is rough. And to be honest, like, I don't really think I'm ever going to change that. If you can't handle it, you're not built for it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And because I want to bring out the best. So again, you could be a great player, especially if you have natural ability, but you know, for the normal sized human beings like myself, you know, that weren't blessed with like, you know, like a crazy stature or like, yeah, sure, I had athletic ability, very fast and all those other things. But, you know, you got to work that much harder. You have to be that much more aggressive to be undeniable, because people are going to look at you in the wrong ways and say, yeah, put him in a category. He's undersized. He's small. So, you know, if you're not gifted and blessed with natural ability and all physical ability, like, no, you better keep your foot on the gas. Period.
You heard that? Turn that motor on.
Now, I appreciate this. No, honestly, David, because it's like, you're not just training young basketball players.
Yeah.
You're training young men to be better men.
And let's say young queens, too.
Yeah. Young queens, too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I got a lot of young queens out there. Shout out to the young queens. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So.
But it's like the world's a cold place, and it can be a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like preparing them for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're really changing the lives of so many. So
I appreciate
like,
it.
We got to give you your flowers for that, too.
I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, for sure.
Would you guys ever coach? Or train? Or
actually, yeah.
You know what's crazy, actually? Sorry to cut you off.
No, you can cut me. I'm speaking your mind, brother.
I want to get to another question. What constitutes a trainer today? Because I know everybody wants to be a trainer and whatnot.
Right? Everybody's a trainer.
Tell me. You know what I mean? So it's not to disrespect nobody to say they're not or they are, but I just want to constitutes that now.
Hey, this is the social media era, right? Like, building a brand is what it's all about. And, you know, I don't know, for some things, people give themselves titles, self-proclaim, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, hate on anybody for doing that. But like, even like, yeah, sure, I've trained a number of NBA players. I don't even like calling myself an NBA trainer. You know what I'm saying? I prefer a professional trainer. You know, why do I feel like I'm a professional? Because of the experience, the hours, the things I've done with the game, et cetera. You know, someone who maybe never played at the highest level could still be a trainer. It doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because if you're a student of the game, then and you put that in the forefront and you study the small little nuances and details, then you could be great. Like, you look at coaches. You know, there's a lot of coaches in the NBA that never played.
Yeah.
They never played. But they started, believe me, they started doing probably some form of film or player development on court. And regardless, those are both forms of trainers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're a student of the game, if you have a passion for the game, if you got a voice, if you, you know, have a method to your madness and, you know, it works and you've actually produced some talent, shit, call yourself a trainer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like definitely there's a, you know, there's levels to it, of course. And, you know, we're all trying to get better in this game. So, yeah, man.
So open it back up. Would you guys ever coach or train if it came to that?
Yeah. Yeah. I coach from the sidelines right now. All the parents look at me like I'm crazy, but like it goes back to the motor, right? Like I'm looking at kids just half-assed and shit.
Yeah.
And I get annoyed. Because I'm like, yo, come on, give a little bit more. Like, even put your hands up.
Yeah.
They don't believe in putting their hands up. If you're coming at them, they're slapping you. And I'm like, why? Yeah. And they don't have the answers because a lot of the times they're not being taught properly, right? And how to do things. And like I said, understanding. You can't put a kid in a situation that he's never been in before and then expect a result.
They don't
understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when he's under the basket and he's never gone up before to make a layup. And now you're all screaming, make a layup. The kid, you're scaring him. He doesn't know what to do. You know what I mean? So like, and the thing with a lot of coaches, like I said, you gotta put the kid in the situation to win, right? If you don't put them in a situation to win, you can't expect them to win. And not only that, it starts in practice. If they're not disciplined, practice, like I'm seeing kids, the coach talking, man is dribbling the ball. He's like, hey, I'm talking. Yeah, and what?
too soft.
You know what I mean? It's like,
coaches are too soft.
What do you mean? Get on the line. Yeah. On the line. I'm giving you an example.
Where's the coach?
I'm hearing the voice right now. This man is a coach. I'm at the hire this guy.
Look at you.
You guys are going now. And I'm going to show you an example. I remember when we were playing basketball and the coach said, hey, we got to run one more lap. And then my boy went, he said, what? Everybody on the line. Tashawn took his bag and said, this is not the track team, and left. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right there. Oh, Tashawn, you want to leave? He's not coming back on this team until we all run 20 suicides.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I would do as a coach. You want to know why? And I'm going to show you why. Because we're a team. You're not going to be, because you don't want to run now, you're going to make us all suffer? Yeah, we're all going to suffer. We're a team. We go out there together. We die together. We go to war together. Mm-hmm. That's the type of coach I would be, right? We're not this, oh, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Oh, you're not going to do it? Oh, we're all running. Yeah. So now you're going to look at Tashawn and be like, yo, bro, what's wrong with you? You're going to look at him and say, yo, bro, come on, man. I'm going to look at him and say, Tashawn, you better get your ass on that line.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? That's the type of coach I would be. So that's what I'm saying. Some of these coaches, they got... You see my voice? You heard that?
Mm.
Let them hear it in practice. Because if you don't do it in practice, what do you expect them to do in the game?
Yeah. Deion, Tashawn?
You got some bass in this voice.
Yeah.
As long as I heard it.
Yo, fear and respect like is what's needed from a coach.
Sure.
And fear and respect motivates people and it holds them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you have to bark at people. You have to scream at them. You have to expect the best from them. You have to tell them, like, I'll tell these kids when you're bullshitting. My biggest thing is that if you can ask a kid or somebody, anybody, doesn't need to be a kid, it could be a pro. You can ask them, like you're asking for max effort on something. You say, yo, grade that rep. This is one of my things I say to these kids often. I try to make them feel like idiots because you're wasting your parents' time, money. You're wasting your time. You're wasting my time. But if they can look at you and tell you 60%.
Anything.
Oh, your mouth.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're not even that good. Like, you're at a level where you need to get better. Like, you need to work at that speed. And kids will openly just say 60%, but it's because of habits, as you're saying, in these other environments, you know.
In this day and age.
In this day and age.
Is taught to be, okay,
that's good. That's yeah, that's good. Not good enough.
Participation.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do this. No, get on the line.
It's different culture. Different culture.
Came back.
Different culture. And that's why the States, there's a little bit of that divide still.
Yeah.
So again, to go back to that point we made earlier, like as soon as that changes and we're not nice Canadians,
yeah,
you know, across all levels, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then we're going to see a lot more.
I don't know if I could coach, but
bro,
we might need all of us in there.
I did it once
for sure.
Bro, I'm telling you, I always had the conveners come over to me. Hey,
yeah, you got calm down right now.
And I said, no, we're gonna ask you to leave.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I'll leave.
I coached one season, it went horribly, and
you were the kid
for the both.
Oh boy,
both, and I was like him.
Yeah,
I was there screaming at them, yelling at them, and. You know when I realized it was bad? One game I got stuck in traffic horribly. My assistant coach was there.
Yeah.
And we would lose almost every game. I come in the gym. My team is up by 15. So I walk in the gym. I tiptoe in the gym. I don't say nothing. I just sit down on the bench. It was like they sensed my presence. As soon as I got there, man started getting stiff. Turn over the ball. Score, score, score. We end up losing the game. So after the game, I'm like, guys, is it me?
Yeah.
And a man looked at me and they're like, yeah, it's you. So what's the problem? You make us nervous. And I said to myself, maybe this isn't working for them.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any other way.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to do because it was like the fear, the respect thing, like that's what I knew. Yeah. But they were U17, so they're 17-year-old boys. They were used to being
coddled
and everyone's nice and good job everybody, like they were used to that. So me, I was coming in Toronto, like I was out, this is out west, so I'm coming from Toronto on some like,
oh come on, yeah, for sure, that's how it was gonna
different
go.
Energy, like it was just they weren't used to somebody like me, and I didn't get the best out of them. So at the end of that season, I didn't end up coaching again because I'm like, it's either I need different players or I need to coach differently.
Yeah.
And to right now I still don't have that answer, but I think in my mind, as a coach, your job is to get the best out of your players.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find whatever way that works for you and them.
Mm.
But
looking back on that season, I don't know if I should have adjusted. I don't have the answer to that. Would I coach now? I would love to try it again. But I think the biggest thing, and kind of you guys are speaking to it, it's really like getting down to the mindset of the player, like learning the player and having the player learn the game. Mm. What made you do that move? Why did you do that? What did you see there? How much effort are you giving? What, like asking questions like that to get an understanding of like where they're at, rather than be like, do this, do that, do no. That to me wouldn't work as well as like just holding them accountable and actually like teaching them.
It teaches their self-awareness when you ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can sit there and spurt back out 60%, they thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to live with me looking at you and say 60%? What? Tell other kids, you hear this? This guy's working, and I'll embarrass them. I will do it. And then they have to sit there and think about that. You thought about your answer. Now think about your next rep.
Yeah.
Because you want me to talk to you like that again? Because I'll embarrass you again because you give me another 60% rep. You know what I'm saying? So asking questions and engaging with the kids is, again, like super, super big. But again, the mindsets of them, it's something that, you know, a little bit, they're kind of sheltered and they don't want it. Not sheltered. They're closed off is what I want to say. A lot of them are closed off. So like, that's why this communication thing and just the team type of environment where, you know, guys are homies and guys are friends, like that doesn't exist as much. And these kids are closed off because they're just sitting there like this. I even have to tell my kids on the way to training or on the way home from training, don't be on your phone. Talk to your parents. Mm. And no disrespect to the parents. Like I'm not saying that they don't parent the kids the right way or given these type of times to, you know, have the mic, speak, like, let's have a conversation.
Right.
But those are the things that are needed just like to engage because this generation is doomed with just technology. You know what I mean? I'm aimless scrolling like hours on TikTok, hours on, you know, and I see it as a problem with why focus is bad, why energy is low, why, you know, kids don't actually listen or learn as well because they're brain dead to a degree, you know? So there's a lot of things that have to be kind of nipped for, you know, these things to work, for these type of methods that we naturally have to work because, you know, again, we're working against a whole other beast at the same time, you know? So.
David, what legacy do you hope to leave behind in doing what you're doing on this journey?
Oh, Lee, that's a deep question.
No, honestly, for me, again, my legacy that I want to leave around, like when it comes to this game and my impact on the game is, you know, again, for sure, I brought the best out of people. You know what I mean? And maximizing potential in anybody that I came across. You know, nobody can say that they've ever, you know, been with me in the gym or worked with me or, you know, came across me and couldn't say that I was the most passionate and fiery and held them to a standard and made them believe that they could do more. So just somebody who, you know, believes in people. Somebody who, you know, again, magnifies people's strengths and builds their weaknesses. Someone who, you know, call it has a solution for everything, but I believe I can give people something, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of people may have came across different trainers and all that, but I want them to say that I'm the best that they've ever, you know, best they've ever been with. So just that same, as I said before, that mentality of, you know, my mentality where it's like, you know, all in, no half stepping, just teaching people to understand that, you know, this is a game that's beautiful, but it's the years are numbered in it. You know, as we talk about transitioning, you know, for me, for you guys, again, we never saw that day when we started. We didn't think about that day at all. So, you know, squeeze everything out of it. I want people to understand that that's what this is about because, you know, you want to look back with no regrets.
I want to give David his flowers without him even knowing. I remember when I think it was like grade 12 or 15, and Tashawn, we were always playing ball, Theon, whatever, and you know he goes, "We're not working hard enough." I'm like, this guy's trying to give a speech to, you know, he's like, "Throughout, we're not working hard enough." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Mans are in the gym at 6 a.m." I was like, "Who's in the gym at 6 a.m.? I'm not getting up at 5 to go to the gym for 6 a.m." He goes, "Bro, the Wolfpack niggas, David and that, they're in the gym." I said, "I don't believe you." He goes, "I'm picking you up tomorrow." Yeah, I remember him picking me up. It was like 5:45. Sun wasn't even out yet.
Jeez.
Bro. No, I wasn't even mad. I was like, "Bro, I'm going to see what this guy's talking about." So he picks me up. We go to the gym. I kid you not. David's in there with Nas and Elon. or Eli, sorry, doing drills. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, we really ain't working hard. Mm-hmm. And you see, you put that out there and you don't even know.
Yeah.
So Tashawn's like, yo, we got to start getting up early and going to the gym, nice. Working harder. I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but, you know, towards the end of the week, I'm like, Tashawn, I'm not coming tomorrow. But, man. Like, it put that in my mind where it's like, I'm going to give you guys an example. Like, a couple times when I'm training my son, because I know in the afternoon my schedule gets crazy busy. So a couple of mornings, like 3 days in the week, we got up 6 a.m., got to the gym for 7.
Hell yeah.
And then I remember two fathers came over and they were like, is that your brother? I said, no, it's my son. They're like, wow, you're up this early with your son working. I said, yeah. And I said, I'm not posting it. Nobody's going to know. Mm-hmm. Just me and him working. Mm-hmm. What he could do to get better. What he wants to work on. And I ask him these things, believe it or not. And like you said, he responds. So when he responds, it lets me know that I need to go harder for him. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying, Dave. You put that out there and you don't even know what you did.
That's love. That's love, bro. 6 a.m. crew is different. 6 a.m. crew is different. Some days, bro, that alarm would go off. And then, you know what's crazy about it, though? You get to a point where the alarm doesn't even, you're waking up before the alarm.
Before the alarm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Running on whatever type of sleep, you just know that you need it was 500 a day. I need to make 500 a day. You know what I'm saying? And waking up Naz and Eli, I remember it's so crazy. Cause like they would be like groaning, like I'm not getting up. I have to go in the crib. I go in the crib and take them out of bed, bro. You know what I'm saying? And like, they may not remember that, but you know, it helped me be who I am today, doing what I'm doing now. And you know, for sure help shape their approach to, you know, the work and how to have that battery in your back, because, you know, if you're not working, somebody else is, and that's how it goes in every craft, in every area. So, you know, have that diligence, you know, have that discipline. It's key.
It's like poetry in motion hearing you talk, because like, you're not just talking. Like, I can attest that you actually live that, what you're saying.
And yeah.
It's beautiful to like to hear the things that you're saying, because I think you said this before, you're not only just teaching these kids how to play the game of basketball, you're mm-hmm. teaching them life transferable skills to be better men. And I want to give you your flowers for that too, because like a lot of people are not doing that. You know what I mean? They would just want to teach them the game of basketball, but like, you're making them think, you're making them work, and like letting them know that, you know, you're not just going to get by with just talent.
No,
you got to do all this. You got to do all the extra work to get to the next step, to wherever you want, whether it's basketball, whether it's in life. So
yeah, no, for sure, respect, bro.
And even the fact that like you're there for them, you know, I think that's one big thing that we didn't speak to. It's like not only are you teaching them, it's like they have somebody that has their back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I could tell like how genuine you are about this. So it's like I know that you have their back, and that's bro. Like you know how it is going out there when it feels like no one has you. Mm-hmm. But to have somebody that has you is like, bro.
No, for sure. For sure. Respect, big. Bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely, bro. Tashawn, without further ado, what we got on the table for Tyndale, bro?
So, David, we make our guests play this game called Let's Talk About
what?
It. So the guest will pick a card.
Massive cards.
And either ask it to the room and then answer at the end, or just answer it and then you can ask it to the room. There's three stacks of cards, white being the lightest, blue being medium, and dark being...
I pick the card and I ask it to the room?
Or you can answer.
Definitely got to answer, but however method you go about it, you can answer first, then like...
Oh, which one's the heavier one?
The black. The dark ones.
Where should I go,
y'all? It's up to you.
How you feeling?
We're gonna end, right?
I'm not gonna lie. Ooh. You got it. Whew. I think I want to ask this to everybody, actually.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your life so far?
I'll go.
And why?
I'll go. You're going to get it all. I give my life an 8. Oof. Like a solid 8. And I'll tell you why. I got a beautiful wife. I got two beautiful kids that I always wanted kids, but not this early. Mm. And then being a young father, you know, they keep me active. They keep me going. I got a good job. I do want to switch careers, but my job is really good. My friends are really good. My circle is really good. You know, healthy. There's not much more you can ask for, right? So that's why I would just say a solid 8, right? Do I want to get it to a 10? Yeah, we get there, you know. Do I want more money? Yeah, you know. But, you know, you got to cherish the moments that, you know, you go through in life. And so that, for me, it's just a solid 8.
It's a good place to be.
It's getting better.
Who's next?
Every man's nervous.
Go ahead, bro. I would echo that and say, like, probably a 7. I think there's room for growth. I don't think anybody in the room should be a 10, because that means you're not striving for anything. Mm-hmm. We've had an amazing childhood. I think that where we are today as men, we've grown so much as a unit, as individuals. For me, like you said, you know, 2 beautiful kids. I have an amazing fiance at home. And I just want so much more. I want my kids to know the grind. I want them to know love. I want them to know all the things that I didn't necessarily get shown growing up. Not to say that I didn't have that stuff. Damn! I didn't just throw that out there. But yeah, like, you know, I want them to wake up and see a family and, like, know what mom and dad's home. I just want to just continue to always be better. And I think 7 is a solid number. Again, I've had highs, I've had lows. But, you know, I'm just 7, an upward 7, trying to get for more.
Before anybody goes on, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you get to a 10?
How do you get to a 10? Yeah. I told you, you should never reach a 10.
You should never reach 10 in your life.
I don't think so. Okay. Because then when you reach 10, what else are you going to go for?
20.
Relax.
I said relax.
Enjoy your fruits.
Margaritas,
you
know, margaritas on a beach.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. You got to go.
You're just talking, bro. You
I know, I'm scared.
I can go.
I'm scared.
Do I have to go?
Yeah, of course you have to go.
No, I didn't know. I thought that was
your card,
bro. I thought it was an option. I thought it was either I answered or I asked.
No, so. No, no.
Right, oh, nah, right. My fault. We didn't communicate that.
Yeah, no. Definitely got to answer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with an 8.5. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with an 8.5 out of 10. Again, I've made my passion, you know, my career at the moment. I believe I'll always be connected to the game in some capacity, whether it's more administrative stuff, behind the scenes stuff, legalities and things like that. I feel like that's a transition that I definitely am going to make at some point, having known a lot of the ins of the game. Like all you guys also said, my fiance, beautiful fiance at home. You know, I don't have no kids yet, but, you know, that's on the way. Family's good. Everyone's still healthy. Everyone's, you know, living good. And one thing, obviously, we all want more, but, you know, still be happy with the successes and where I am, you know, because I do know that things are going like this. And as long as, you know, you continue to do right and do right with different people, your karma will always, you know, return the goods to you. So, yeah, man, just continue to strive for more. I obviously want to grow. I want to see your people around me in better positions. I want to be able to, you know, give more to my parents. You know what I'm saying? They've given so much for me, the sacrifices, my siblings, everything. Like, I just want to be able to put more people on and give more to everybody. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So, definitely happy. You know, every day we get to wake up and open our eyes and we're able-bodied. That's one of the biggest things, being able to move. Just, you know, my body is my moneymaker to a degree right now. And obviously my voice, but being able to move, being able to communicate, those are things that I don't take lightly. You know, shit, I'm traveling to America. You see so many people, you know, in wheelchairs and shit. And it's just like, bro, like, to be immobile is crazy, you know? So I never take that lightly. Never take that lightly.
Me?
I don't know, bro.
You guys, that's me. All right, I got it. I'm going to go with an 8 as well.
I'm going to shake the room for sure now.
You are?
I'm going to shake the room
for sure. I hear you.
Now. 8. All right, go ahead.
8. No wife, no kids.
But still, is that why you're that way? That
was the criteria.
That's the first one he said.
Why are we talking about wife and kids? I wanted to follow in the crew. No wife, no kids.
But I'm still blessed.
And on that.
No. But I think I've had some really tough times, really dark times. But I've also had some really good ones. And when you look at, when I just evaluate where I'm at in life now, it feels like I'm at a place where I can create the life I want. And I'm living the life. If you asked me 5 years ago, would I be living this life? I would have been like, what? Oh. But it's like, I'm living a life that I would have dreamed for 5 years ago. Where it's like, yeah, I wake up when I want. I work when I want. I do what I want. And it's like, I'm the architect of my work, of everything that I do. I'm not working for a corporation or a boss or in a space that I really did not like. So it's like when I look at my life, I'm just like, wow, I'm blessed to be doing work that's meaningful, work that I love, and being able to like see my friends. I have great friends, my family, my grandparents. Like to have all my grandparents who I'm close to alive is like everything for me, you know? So it's just great relationships, great situation. I might even give it a 9. Like,
talk about it.
Life's blessed. And I think you can get to 10. I disagree with that.
I think you can disagree.
I think so too, but disagree. When I'm like a 4 that, yeah. Like,
when I'm 90, I want to look back and say 10. When I'm 80, and I'll be able to do that if I don't look back with regrets and say, I wish I had just tried harder, or I wish I didn't overthink that thing, or I wish I didn't care what people think. So
I think you misunderstood what I said. Right now, you should. Right now, you shouldn't be a 10.
I killed the
90. Of course, yeah, I want you to be a 10. Yeah. But right now, that means you're complacent if you're a 10.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah, that's fair.
Still, right now,
that's okay.
Right now,
strive for greatness. Right, because if you hit a 10,
right now.
No, I'm saying like even if you were a 10 right now, right? Who's saying 10 is like? Why not go to a 20? Why not? You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
You keep pushing.
I heard that.
Fair. I guess the question was vague. Does it say 10?
But when you
1 to 10. Yeah, 1 to 10 still.
Yes. There's no more room.
I can't break the scale, bro.
Yeah, I hear you, fam. All right. Why I say I shake the room is because on most scales, I think 7 is a safe answer. I feel like I don't want to live in a 7 and anywhere. So I look at most scales without a 7. So I go, which is uncomfortable for me to say, but I'd say like a 6.6, 6.7. And the reason I say that is because a lot of things that I've strived for, I have yet to reach. 33, I look back at things and not to say I don't give myself grace, but I look at a lot of things where I look at a have not situation versus a have, you know? And like you said, there's things that I don't look at as all the time as grateful, being able-bodied, different things like that. So I give myself hard critiques. So that's why I kind of land myself in that. Also, I do have regrets looking back at things, some risks that I didn't take, some things that I wanted to be a little bit more calculated in. But then I also look on the other side and say, bro, you're blessed, highly favored. I'm in a position as Tashawn is outside of this podcast where it's like, I get to choose my hours. Mm-hmm. I get to dictate how much money I'm going to make. You know what I mean? There's certain things that are a blessing. You know, I don't have to answer to too many people, especially not in the workforce, you know? So I'm blessed in those areas. But again, there's things that I look back at that are like heavier regrets, decisions that I've made that are just like, you got to be smarter, you got to be better, you got to be, you know, but I take those things on the chin and understand that there's growth in those things. But yeah, I'd like to operate to get myself a little bit of more, a bit more space in that. And that's why I kind of land myself in that 6.7 area.
I think just to add a point, like, it's like the things that we've gone through, and like you talking about regrets, like look at those things as lessons for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a beautiful scar. Like, yeah. Shit, I think about my knee sometimes and it's like, fuck, but this led me here. You know, if I was still playing and chasing certain things, I wouldn't have the life I have, you know, necessarily if I was lost in that, or, you know, something could have happened differently at a later time and it kind of could have shook things differently. But Just looking at everything as a lesson, looking at everything as like, you know, there's beauty in certain struggles and certain things and certain, you know, things that you didn't do, just because it kind of maybe closes one door, but it opens another one.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're aware of them, you know, like it's never too late for certain things, just absolutely. In a different way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just give yourself that grace for sure.
Like knowing that you're exactly where you're supposed to be and that it's not the end of your story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's always more to be written. So, yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to get to an 8 this year.
Yeah,
I mean, one regret I have is in university, I forced David Wright. Because coach told me to.
Don't talk about it. Like, I remember.
Yeah. I didn't want to force him right.
I remember.
I didn't want to.
Man, I didn't think he was going to bring it up.
It was the elephant in the room. No, it was the elephant.
It's only your elephant.
I don't care. It's the elephant.
It's part of the game, bro.
Hold on. It's your story. Tell it.
What's up?
So in university, I think David, way older than me. He was a senior.
I'm not sure that information.
I was a rookie. Yes. I'm trying to set the scene.
We played in high school too. No, you were. They sent you for me. When you were at camping, they sent you for me in that game too.
Don't forget. Veteran point guard.
Okay. Hey. I gave you the veteran point guard.
Hey, listen.
He's trying to manipulate this story.
No, don't get it. He was the youngest dude though. And okay. None of the older guys want to take on the challenge. I think one of them did earlier, and I got him with some shit, too. So, I respect it. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
So, coach says, you got number 11, Tyndale. I said, David?
Me?
Like, yeah. I'm like, you want me to guard him? Yeah. I said, he's so low to the ground. Like, he's like, no, just, you know, keep him outside the paint, force him to the baseline. I'm like, force him right? I'm like, no, coach. I see him go right. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So we force him left. He goes, that's not what we do here. I'm like, no, for him. He's like, no, force him right. So I was like, all right, cool. So I'm there, you know, wipe off my shoes. I'm like, I got this guy. The man.
Like, as the approach is coming, you're wiping your shoes?
No. I wiped it before I got on the court. So all I remember is David caught the ball, went hard right. And I swiped the cut. I slid cut to cut him off. Man. And bro, I remember just looking and feeling my legs just give out on me. Like, I didn't mean to fall. Like, you know what I mean? It just happened.
Yeah, you thought it was over there. It wasn't there.
And all I remember is, like, I fell, yanked it back. Crowd was like, oh! I don't remember if you made that. I think everything went everything went blurry after that.
Did you make it?
Not the one when he fell, but okay. I hit him with another one that was kind of like just a hard stop.
Yeah,
I hit that one. I hit that one. But the one when he fell, I didn't hit that one.
Yo, I just remember a man said, this is your mats? And they sent me. I was like, God damn, Fruity.
No, bro. Hey, like I said, blessing it wasn't during the vow era. My dog.
That hoop mixtape?
That would have been everywhere.
But I started forcing him left, and we got better results.
No, for sure. See, trust your judgment, bro. You knew, because, again, you from way back, bro.
Sometimes coaches aren't players. You got to
bridge that gap. Let them know. Listen, I understand what you're saying, but we're out there.
You know what I'm saying?
You should have told him to force me right. Broke his leg.
It wasn't a loss. It was a lesson.
That's my point. That forced him left.
Eating some ground.
Holy, bro.
Sometimes you got to get embarrassed to learn.
Those days, man. For real.
The best of us, man. Crazy, man.
Tyndale, I want to thank you for coming by.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Stop it. Give it some time, bro.
Yes, sir.
I know you're a busy man.
Nah, for sure, bro. I'll make time for the man. 100%,
man.
It was beautiful. It was good just to even just hear everybody's, you know, story and just like the things everybody's gone through. It's important for these things to be kind of put out there, you know, for those that are going through these transitions, of course. So for me, you know, anytime I can give some knowledge, bro, you know, I'm happy to do so. So, blessing. I appreciate y'all, bro.
We appreciate you.
That being said, price for going up, but do you have anything you want to promote?
Right now, honestly, no, nothing to promote, but there's some things in the works.
Okay.
You know, there's some things in the works. That's all I can say where, you know, having a different home base that's, you know, a lot higher performances. There's some plans that are going. So, you know, certain things I protect the energy on. Don't know who's evil eye, but not you guys. I'm just saying for the viewers. But just, you know, just some things in the work. But I think everybody just continue to watch the game. That's what I want to promote. I want to promote people being students of the game, people using the game, and understanding, like, you know, the lessons, you know, they're transferable, and just, you know, continue to develop and to be a great human being, whether you're a young man, young woman. Again, don't take for granted these times and the coaches that you come across, the ones that are giving you the tough love, you know, appreciate them, value them, because, you know, they're going to help shape you into who you want to become one day, you know, so for sure.
And on that note, gentlemen, remember to like, comment, subscribe. Yeah, I see red button. But please, please, please like, comment, subscribe. From us to you guys. See you again.
We out.